All right, guys, so we are in lesson 4. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 through 11, okay? 3 through 11. So we're going to talk about forgiving today. Now, let's just be honest. Is forgiving someone easy? No. In fact, some of it is complicated because we've heard things through the years about forgiveness that just make it really hard. So have some of you heard that forgiveness means forgetting? Yes. That if you forgive somebody, you're supposed to forget their sin. How many of you have heard that before? Okay. I guess Tim and Nancy, okay. Yeah, let me just tell you right now, that's a lie. The only person who can forget sins is God, okay? So he removes them from us and remembers them no more. That is what the scripture says about the Lord. You are not the Lord, okay? And so just so you understand that, so just want to relieve your mind as you're wrestling with the issue of forgiveness. It isn't forgetting, okay? Here's the other one. Forgiveness is not releasing the person who sinned against you from their offense. Okay, because sometimes people will say, well, I can't forgive them because of what they did to me, and if I do that, you know what I'm saying? It's not that either. So when you forgive someone, you're not releasing them from an offense. Okay, because they don't answer to you. Who do they answer to? To the Lord, okay? He's the only one who can release them from the offense. What you are doing when you forgive is releasing yourself from the offense. Do you understand what I'm saying? Releasing yourself from the offense. Why? Because if you're holding on to the offense, it will incapacitate you. I'll give you an example. So, you know, when Lori and I pastored in the first church, There were a lot of things that were going on in that first church. There were just difficulties, and a lot of stuff was happening. And towards the end, there was a pastor who actually started the church. He would come visit occasionally, and I would honor him, and you know, because he was the founding pastor. But some folks, they argued over a basement. Didn't have anything to do with me. Had to do with the board wanting to build a building without a basement. And, you know, because you don't build a house in Ontario without a basement. Well, yeah, that's fine if you're building your own house, but if you build a commercial building, you have to build it to code. Did you understand what I'm saying? And the cost of that, you should build a bigger building up top than put one in the base, put a basement under it, okay? So they were getting with this guy, and they were doing all this stuff. And so what ended up happening is people got up so upset, they quit tithing, which they loved us, but who does that affect? Lori and I, because you don't get paid then. And so I would go, sometimes I went 2 pay periods in a row without getting paid. That's a month without pay, folks, okay? So there were some very hurtful things and so forth. And so guess what? Do you think I'm angry about it? Yeah, do you think I'm hurt by it? Okay. I'm very, very angry and hurt by that pastor getting involved. Okay. And so we left, went back to Pennsylvania, and so I'm working for my father-in-law. And about a year later, this is before I came here, just a few months before God brought me to this church. We got word that somebody in our church had died in Canada, and so we loved this individual, and we went up to the funeral. Now, this was an individual who was upset about the basement, so we still went to the funeral because we loved them, okay? So I'm in the funeral home line waiting to go pay my respects, and I'm just kind of sitting there daydreaming, thinking about, oh my goodness, I'm back here in Angus. And so I turned around, and right behind me is that pastor. And so I was faced then, what do I do? My first initial reaction was, I'm just going to walk out. But then as I felt like maybe it's the Spirit of God was talking to me and saying, you can't do that. All these people know you. All these people know him. And you are a prisoner. You're a prisoner to the offense. And you think he's going to unlock it by saying, I'm sorry. He'll never say he's sorry. You have to forgive him. So in my heart, I forgave him. I had to release myself from the prison. You realize that man went to his grave and never said, I'm sorry. Now, there's no way for him to ever say he's sorry. Okay? There's no way. You have to release yourself from the prison. So when you forgive someone, you're not releasing them from the offense. You're releasing yourself. Because it's in God's hands. Do you understand? God will deal with them. God will set things right, right? Is that not what we believe? Well, see, okay, so forgiveness is a really hard issue. And this is what the Corinthians are struggling with. They're struggling with the whole issue of forgiveness, forgiving someone in their midst. So let's go through this together. He's going to talk about an issue. So we're going to look, first of all, at verses 3 and 4. Here's what he says. And I wrote as I did, so that when I came, I might not suffer pain from those who should have made me rejoice. For I felt sure of all of you that my joy would be the joy of you all. For I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish of heart, and with many tears, not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love that I have for you. All right, so he's going to talk about a prior letter. Now, the prior letter he's talking about, let me just go ahead and tell you right off the bat, is not 1 Corinthians. Between 1 Corinthians and what we know as 2 Corinthians was another letter. And it was even more harsh than 1 Corinthians. Okay? So here's what I want you to see. He brought this point out in his prior letter to the Corinthians. So he brought out the point of his whole issue of his love for them and why he didn't come, all right? So he wrote the letter so that he would not have a painful experience with some. So rather than coming to town itself, he sent a letter. So rather than leaving Macedonia and going to Corinth, he sent a letter instead. Now, the reason why he sent the letter is he's saying here, I didn't want it to be a painful experience, another negative experience with you guys. Okay? I think we all understand that. So he sends a message, okay? He expressed that he wrote that letter from the anguish of his heart for them. So this harsh letter that he sent, dealing with whatever it is that he was dealing with them about, he wrote that from the pain of his heart, his anguish. It wasn't just something he wrote down flippantly or out of anger. He wrote down that letter out of anguish of heart for them. Okay? So the purpose of the letter was to serve as a means of bringing loving correction. That's the whole purpose here. The whole purpose of why he wrote that prior letter was so that he could correct them lovingly. Deal with the issue, okay? So now he's going to get into the thing that he wants to talk to them about. So, you know, he's given his defense, why he didn't come. He talked about why he wrote this letter. So now he's going to bring up the first issue, which is forgiveness, forgiving an offender. So I want you to notice with me, we're going to read this section, and this is what we're going to talk about the rest of our time. Verse 5 through 11. Now, if anyone has caused pain, he has caused it not to me, but in some measure, not to put it too severely, to all of you. For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough. So, you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So I beg you to reaffirm your love for him. For this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. All right, so let's take a look here. So we're going to talk about the impact of the injury, first of all right? So Paul points out that the offender hurt not only the apostle, but the whole church. So obviously in this last letter that we don't have, he mentions somebody that was hurting all of them, not just the apostle, but all of the church. Okay, there was some kind of action going on by the individual. Now, I think it's interesting, the scripture doesn't tell you what it is. I think that's a good thing. Why do you think that's a good thing that the scripture doesn't point out what his offense is? What do you think is a good thing? Okay, that's exactly right, Brad. You can apply the principles from this passage to everything, okay? Anything. Because it's dealing with the issue of forgiveness, not necessarily the offense. Because if it said, well, like for instance, let's say this guy, because some believe it's the guy who was sleeping with his dad's, he was sleeping with his stepmother, okay? That's not possible because there's a second letter that we know of. So this is not the same guy. So if we said it was that, then we would say, okay, well, I don't need to do anything else except in this instance where somebody's sleeping with their stepmother. Like, how often does that happen? You know what I'm saying? Not around here very much. Do you understand? I'm not going to say that it doesn't happen, but that's not, you know, something that we deal with, okay? But having the issue unknown makes it the greater principle come out. We're going to see that when we get to chapter 12 where Paul talks about the thorn in the flesh. What's the thorn in the flesh? We don't know. But the principles of whatever he was suffering from are what we need to look at rather than trying to figure out what his thorn was. Okay, so here, let's not worry about what the offense was. We just need to know there was an offender. And he didn't just hurt the church, but he hurt the apostle. Now, the offender was disciplined by the church as a whole. Okay? So the offender was disciplined by the church as a whole. Now, why would they do that? Okay? Now, first of all, he talks about the church discipline. So whatever they did, Paul points out, Paul saw the punishment as appropriate. So because the church made a decision about this, he saw the punishment as appropriate. Now, okay, so what do you guys think about that? This is what they call church discipline. I guess what I'm trying to do is this something that should happen? Yes. Okay, Bruce says yes. Anybody else? Okay, Rob's nodding his head yes. Okay? All right, yes, why? Why do you think we should do this? What would you say, Jane? Okay, everybody's in agreement with the punishment. Okay, good. But there's another reason why we need to do this. Okay, so that the offending person knows that their actions are not correct. Okay, sets an example for the rest of the congregation. That's good. Okay. Okay, that's good, Bruce. Everything Bruce said is good, but I'm going to go one step before that. Why do we do this, Lori? Restoration, okay. He's going to bring that out. What were you thinking, Tim?
Because he doesn't want to point out just one person. Because if I just say, okay, George, you did this, everyone's going to look towards you at that fault. But if he says the cross is for the Lord, he's not just figuring on just one person.
Okay, I think you're confused a little bit, Tim. It's let's say I did something wrong, all right? The congregation decides then to discipline me. That still is the focus is on me, but it's a group decision to deal with me, okay? Now, here's what I'm trying to get to. Everything you guys said is right, but there's one thing before that. Why do we do this? Because Jesus told us to. Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17. Here's what he says.
If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. First step, let's say Bruce does something against me. He and I are to work it out together, okay? All right, now listen to what Jesus said. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. It ends right there. So if we work it out between us, it doesn't have to go any further than that, right? Okay, here's what Jesus said. But if he does not listen, take one or two others with you that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. So again, so what would I do then? So like, let's say we're not working it out. So I take with me Rob and Denny, and we go and talk with him, okay? And if it works out, that's where it ends, right? But if it doesn't, here's what Jesus says. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. Go to the church. And if he refuses even to listen to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Meaning, say goodbye to him. Do you understand? He's not part of you. So the reason why we are to do this, church discipline, is because Jesus told us to do this. Okay? Why? Now the purpose came right out. You have to help people see what they're doing. You have to deal with the issues. Restoration, that's come out. Okay, so let's go on. So, obviously, they've done the right thing here. They've done the right thing by disciplining this guy. However, having done the right thing, a problem emerged. And it has to do with the issue of forgiveness. Okay, what do you mean? Well, look with me, verses 7 through 8. So, first of all, Paul points out the man has repented. So the guy, after he's been disciplined, repents. That's not just saying, I did it. Repentance is going beyond simply just confession. Repentance is changing your life, okay? Moving in a different direction. So this guy repented, all right? The church, though, still held the offense against the man. Still held the offense. Now you might say, well, maybe they can't forget what he did, George. Well, yeah, that's possible, okay? Because forgiveness is a process. But the whole church is still holding the offense against him. Even though he repented, maybe they weren't allowing him to come back into the fellowship anymore, okay? Maybe they cast him out and they said, we're just done with him, we're never letting him back in. You can assume a lot of things here because it doesn't tell you exactly what was going on, but it does tell us that Paul's correcting them about their actions.